I'm so excited to be here with everyone to talk about building connected and disconnected mobile applications, leveraging the power of Microsoft Azure, and a service inside of Azure called Azure Mobile Apps. That's what we're going to take a look at today. Now, this webinar is, of course, brought to you by Xamarin University, which is the place to go for the most comprehensive and up-to-date Xamarin-focused training. Now, if you don't know about Xamarin University, I simply love it. So I'll tell you a little bit about what's included in Xamarin University. They offer live classes with expert instructors. So you go online, you pick your classes that you want to attend, and then you're actually in a live classroom with live instructors and everyone else there is with you. So you're chatting and it's a conversation based as you're going through these classes. They also offer one-on-one office hours. This really allows you to work individually with an instructor on your specific goals. If you're running into an issue, you want to know how something is implemented, you just want that one-on-one time, you can schedule it. Also, there's this amazing Xamarin community. And what you get is you get this private forum just for Xamarin University students and instructors. You can go on there, ask your questions, and you have your own little private area. And then, of course, the opportunity to become a Xamarin Certified Mobile Developer, just like me. And the Xamarin Certified Mobile Developer is really becoming a benchmark certification in the industry when it comes to mobile development. Now, if you want to learn more and enroll in Xamarin University, just go to university.xamarin.com. Now, today, what I said we were going to do is take a look at Azure Mobile Apps. And I'm going to talk about why you want to, you know, think about building a backend for your application and worry about online, offline data synchronization. So we're going to talk about that first. We're actually going to build a backend from scratch. We're going to create an ASP.NET website, deploy it, have the mobile application talk to it, and integrate online, offline data synchronization in those applications. We're also going to take a look at additional services for mobile applications that you may be interested in that your application can leverage in some of these SDKs that we're going to explore today. And then finally, I'm going to, of course, give you all the resources, all the source code, everything that you need to get started building great applications with Xamarin and Azure. Now, a little bit about myself. If you don't know who I am, I'm James Montemagno. I'm a principal program manager on the mobile developer tools here at Microsoft. I'm super excited to be here. I live in this bright, sunshiny city of Seattle, Washington, where it's nice and sunny every single day, I swear. Okay, I mean, every, like, you know, 5 days out of the year is pretty good. I moved here in 2011 or so to become a full mobile app developer, drink all of our awesome coffee like I'm doing so this morning, and, of course, build awesome mobile applications. Almost every single thing that I do, every library, every app I create is open source on my GitHub. So I'll give you the links here in a second. But I just really love it. I've been building apps with Xamarin for over almost nearly 6 years now at this point and have shipped about 70 applications across all the different app stores. So I love it. I love it so much that I keep talking about it. I actually have a weekly development podcast with my good friend Frank Krueger, who's also an independent developer that uses Xamarin for everything. We talk about all things in technology and development and mobile and desktop and server. It's called Merge Conflict. I highly recommend everyone boot up their podcast listener device right now and go to mergeconflict.fm or just search for Merge Conflict on iTunes or wherever, and it'll be there. But if you're more visual and you like to see like video content, I also have a weekly development show on Channel 9. It's called The Xamarin Show. If you just go to xamarinshow.com, it'll take you directly to the Channel 9 page, where it has all sorts of awesome shows on all sorts of ridiculous, cool Xamarin content. And I even have people in the community come on, talk about libraries they're creating, apps that they're shipping, things like that. So head over to xamarinshow.com. After this webinar, you can, of course, find me everywhere on the internets. I'm really easy to find on Twitter and on GitHub. My name and alias is James Montemagno. You also have my direct email line if you have any questions, mots@microsoft.com, and of course my personal blog, Mots Codes. So of course, if you have any questions, we'll have some Q&A at the end, but feel free to contact me directly. So I've been building applications for a long time, and what I've really realized is that the best apps truly, truly stand out in the market. And, you know, we can write amazing code and we can try to have really good UX and do all this stuff, but there's certain things that can accidentally happen or things that we're not planning for initially that can kind of drag down our app. So I kind of call these the bad app experiences, which of course is crashes. You know, you always want to make sure that you're handling crashes and exceptions properly and using something like Mobile Center crashes or something like Hockey App to handle your crashes and getting back that information so you're able to fix those quickly. On the actual UX side of things, you know, if your application's hard to navigate, if there's poor UI or bad user experience, you know, trying to get in and out of different workflows of your application, it should be simple and intuitive. And of course, you know, you want to make sure that the features that you're advertising are actually inside your application. They do those really well. I always like to say it's better to do one to two things extremely well than to do 100 things poorly. So to really try to focus in on what you want to make this great experience and feature set, and then really nail that. And then, of course, there's some other things that we can control, and then we can actually improve performance-wise in our applications, because we don't want to create slow and laggy experiences in our applications. We want really silky smooth scrolling, for instance. And of course, we want to make sure that our users have data available all the time. As soon as they boot up the application, it should be instantly responsive. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. We don't want to create slow or laggy experiences. We want to make sure that our data is always available to them whenever they need it, as soon as they boot it up, no matter how we're building our applications, whether it's with Xamarin Forms, traditional Xamarin, Windows application, no matter how, we're building these great experiences. So we're going to tackle these two to the best that we can, building and leveraging a backend. And that last one's really important, the data when you need it. And a lot of people say, well, I'm always connected, so I'll always have my data. So I'm not even going to worry about caching data or creating a database or anything like that. And you know, I had a lot of good conversations with Frank on my podcast about this, of how we go about building our applications. And often we're just database first, and we're, you know, booting up either SQLite or looking to build a backend for our application and make sure that, you know, sometimes we have spotty internet connection or we're on a plane or something like that. You know, for me, for instance, I travel about 100 times a year. You know, I'm away from Seattle about half, or, you know, 50 to 60% of the year. And I spend a lot of time in the air. I take over 100 flights, and often that internet, in quotes, isn't real internet. It's really spotty, or it doesn't even exist. And when you actually take a look at the landscape, though, the United States, you know, you're basically saying, well, James, you know, I'm targeting the U.S. market, so, you know, we have really great coverage everywhere you go. And this is a map from OpenSignal that has all the coverage of the different networks, essentially. What's actually interesting, if you take a look at Seattle up in the Pacific Northwest over here where I live, it's pretty blanketed, except for apparently inside of my apartment, where I get absolutely no reception. And I'm on Google Fi, which is T-Mobile and Sprint. So that's actually two of the top five network carriers. And I still can't get network reception, which is crazy. And then, you know, if you're in a bigger city like San Francisco or New York or something like that, you know the problems of big, huge skyscrapers and trying to get cell phone coverage anywhere. So even though we think we may have cell phone coverage everywhere, we don't, honestly, to be honest with you. And then if you look at like the Midwest or even the West here, where it's like Montana, Wyoming, the Dakotas, you know, a lot of this is like farm country, and it's a huge opportunity for mobile application developers. We have developers building apps for farmers that, you know, they take their tablet in the morning. Everything is completely synchronized offline. There's no cell phone coverage. There's no Wi-Fi out in the middle of the fields. But they have every single thing they need, all their mission critical data for that day. They can insert data. They can then, when they get back at the end of the day, dock that tablet, and then synchronizes everything to the database. You know, and that's kind of the scenario that we want to take a look at. But even if you're not, you know, obviously in the farm, you know, these are great other scenarios that, hey, listen, you know, everyone's traveling or they're driving long distances. And if they go into a tunnel, they should still have access to that podcast or to the maps or my information. I shouldn't just be offline all of a sudden. But if once you start to expand globally, though, even if you are already today, you may take a look at maybe places like, you know, India or Saudi Arabia or like Africa, right? We have these huge, huge other continents out there and countries out there that are not necessarily always blanketed by 3G and 4G coverage. You know, if you take a look at the map here, which is 2G, 3G and 4G coverage, like Africa, except for South Africa, doesn't have a lot of coverage. And India is looking pretty good, but you know, for me, if I don't have 4G LTE coverage, I basically throw my phone out the window. It's basically useless. And what I did is I unchecked the 2G and 3G networks, and this is what that map looks like. It's really spotty. And as we can see, like, we don't really have this coverage that we have in the United States at all. So you need to kind of be worried about the not only just am I connected, but do I have a persistent strong data connection that is going to be able to synchronize all my data. You know, there's people that go into like the village and then will go and connect to the internet and then come back, and then they're offline for like a week and they go back and forth. This is still a scenario. So you got to be aware, as you grow globally, you know, every country, every continent, every place that we go, every city is completely different. And you can't always expect that constant coverage. So that's where a backend for our application comes in. And there's multiple ways of thinking about a backend. You know, if you're just, you know, connecting to an existing service out there today, you might want to just store that locally in a cache or in a local database, because you're not in control of your backend, right? You're not building your backend, you're integrating with someone else's backend. But often we are building that back end. We either have a website, an ASP.NET website set up somewhere, it's hosting all of our content, talking to, SQL table storage, or it's talking to MongoDB, or it's talking to DocumentDB, some sort of, database that's going to be displaying it in our website and displaying it there. And often what you can do is you can think about building kind of this mobile layer on top of it, because often you don't want to expose all of the data to your mobile device. You don't only want to expose some of the data to the mobile device. Or if you're building an application such as the Evolve Conference application, well, it's like one-to-one. Whatever's on the website is inside the mobile application. You know, I built the Evolve Conference app and made sure that no matter where you're coming from, no matter where you're at, especially at conferences with spotty internet, that you would have that conference information. So what we want to do is kind of think about, the scale. When I'm talking about going globally, we can leverage and we can stand on the shoulder of giants, if you will, and take a look at the power of Azure, which is on this huge global scale. And these blue and green dots are operational and announced regions, data regions, where you can deploy your code into. And we have over 30 of them across the world. This is more than AWS and Google Cloud combined. And we actually recently released data centers and launched data centers in Canada, China, and India. Just Google like Azure compute regions, and you'll watch this amazing video of the structures and how we're rolling them out. So, every time I do a presentation on Azure, I'm always updating this, number from 30 to 35, and we've already announced 8 more. So even by the time I give this, it could be out of date, so we're always launching more all over the place. And the nice thing here is that while you could launch and put your data maybe in West US, if your application becomes, super popular in China, well, you can just data replicate over to India or to China or to Australia if you want to, if you see these huge spikes. So your information is closer to your users. That's really the power of the cloud. So the service inside of Azure we're going to take a look at is Azure Mobile Apps, which I simply love and I've been using for many years. It's extremely powerful and also flexible too, because what it does is the powerfulness is that it lives inside of Azure. So it's taking advantage of auto scale and being able to, diversify and put your information everywhere. But it's also really flexible no matter how you want to build your backend, whether it's a Node.js backend or an ASP.NET backend. You get to decide how you build your application. When you want to stay in C# or you want to move over to JavaScript world, it's up to you. So if you're in a team that's kind of distributed between C# and JavaScript, it's there. That's on the backend side of thing. And then on the client side of thing, there's a full cross-platform client SDK for Xamarin developers for iOS, Android, and of course, Windows. And it's all in a PCL. And it's completely open source too. So you can take a look at both the backend and the client SDKs are open source on GitHub. So you can just go to GitHub, look at all the source code, and no matter what you want to do, it's there, which is really cool. And how it works essentially is, we've always kind of thought of our backends have a RESTful API that we would interact with. So we get some items, we put some items, we patch some items. And that's actually really tedious often for us as developers to write over and over and over again. We're writing this RESTful service code to get all this and do all this. So what we have is actually this Xamarin SDK and Windows SDK that kind of sits inside of our client applications. And what it does, it abstracts this RESTful API into really simple calls that simplify our code, and it handles all the crazy business logic so you don't have to. And it'll communicate to our backend services that are there. And our Azure mobile server bits will be living in the server bit there, and it'll have data connections, it'll have user authentication, push notifications. You can connect it to anything like SQL, tables, Mongo, API apps, whatever you need to, functions if you want to. And it'll completely handle the online, offline data synchronization between our data connection and, of course, our mobile applications. And you get to choose what you want to sync. You don't have to sync all of it. You choose what tables, what information, what subset of things that you want to sync back and forth. And then, of course, this is going to live in that backend code, and it could live anywhere. It could be, something that you're deploying from GitHub or from VSTS or just internally, or you put it, anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's an ASP.NET website that's living somewhere, and it's out there, which is really cool. So let's actually like build an application. Let's go ahead and start doing this. So I'm going to go ahead and jump over into Visual Studio. And here's what we want to do. We're going to build an application today that's going to go out and kind of help me track my coffee consumption, if you will. I drink a lot of coffee. If anyone follows me, that I drink a lot of coffee. So I actually thought about building this application quite a long time ago. And the idea is that I have a desktop computer. I have an Android tablet. My girlfriend has an iPhone. So no matter where we're at, we wanted to kind of track the types of coffee and if I'm drinking them at home or if I'm away, to kind of help me pay less for coffee and start drinking more coffee at home. So I wanted to make sure I was, you know, trying to save some money. This is a Xamarin Forms application, but again, it doesn't matter what type of application you're building, whether it's a traditional Xamarin application, just an iOS app, just an Android app, or Xamarin Forms app. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. So we can see we have an Android app, an iOS app, a UWP application down here. It also has support for older Windows platforms too. And I'm using a shared project here for all my shared code. So I have this model, some services, views, and view models here. And the it's a shared project, but it could be a portable class library, .NET standard library. It doesn't matter. You know, it'll install anywhere that you possibly want. Just for this example, I'm just doing it in a portable class or a shared project. Now, the first thing that we actually need to do here is we need to go ahead and go into our manage NuGet packages. And I'm going to show you what was installed, actually. So I've installed all the NuGet packages just for time's sake ahead of time. And I'll show you what you want to be looking for. So specifically here, there's two Microsoft.Azure.Mobile.Client SDKs. There is the standard one here, and then there is the SQLite store. And you can see it's installed in all three of my applications, and it'd also be installed in your portable class library or .NET standard library if you had it. And essentially, this is the base, the mobile.client, and then the SQLite store is an extension on top of it. The client will allow you to talk to your backend, it doesn't handle the online-offline data synchronization. That's where the SQLite store comes in. And we're kind of going to walk through building all of this code from scratch. And while it is a default SQLite store implementation, what's also really nice is that you can override that and you can actually make it go to a Realm database or a SQL Cipher database or whatever you want. It just by default uses SQLite. So that's what I'm using here. So if you are worried about security or something, you can replace that with a SQL Cipher and you implement an interface for like your CRUD operations and it will handle everything. I've also installed a few other things. Well, we can actually see the SQLite store installs a few other things down here. We get JSON.NET, we get HTTP client, we get the SQLite raw bundle. I've also installed my MVVM helpers, which I really like, which help out a lot. And then I've also installed the connectivity plugin. And this is really important for doing online, offline data synchronization because you never want to try to synchronize your data if you're offline. You know, you only want to do that if you're online. So we'll show you exactly how to use that. And then, of course, all the Xamarin Forms goodness here. So let's go ahead and see what else I have to do. So the first thing that we need to do is go into our iOS and Android projects and kind of the startup code. So here's the app initialize. And you're going to see that I've added this like one line of code here, this Microsoft Windows Azure Mobile Services current platform init. You have to do this for iOS and Android just so the linker doesn't remove stuff, things like that. Very similar to your Xamarin Forms init if you're used to that or any other initialization code that you may have seen before. So just be aware that it's there for iOS and Android. So for some reason you're like into release mode or what's going on, you know, I've put it here automatically for iOS and Android. Now, that's all the code that's really going to be there. All the code for this application is inside of the shared project. So what I'm going to do is we're going to set up our backend code, and then we're going to go ahead and deploy our backend second, and then come back and launch the application. So we're going to see how that works. So the model is what kind of the data that I'm going to insert into the database, and what I'm going to store locally, but also push up into my Azure backend. So you're always going to have, there's a few things required. You're always going to have this ID, and then you're always going to have this Azure version, which has a special attribute on it. So when you go in here, you're going to have this, there's created at, updated at version on here. There's a few different ones. So actually you can come in here and you can actually see these. So when you come in and you can say Azure created and then Azure updated, there we go. And then inside of here, are these special attributes to say created at, updated at, version, preserved, deleted. There's a whole bunch of different ones because there are some default entity framework structures that are used essentially for the version conflicting. I always, at minimum, you have to add this version code on top of here. But what we're going to store today specifically are these additional properties. So the ID and the Azure version here are gonna just help for the information of synchronizing it with the backend. And then this is the additional data that I'm gonna put. I'm gonna put a date time, I'm gonna put a Boolean, I'm gonna put a string inside of here for the OS version that we're gonna do. Now we use JSON.NET, so it hits the RESTful endpoint. It's all a JSON endpoint. So I just have some additional display attributes that I have for the user interface, and I just add this little JSON ignore so the backend won't actually try to push that or do anything with that. So be aware that you can also do that. So you're like, hey, these are only for my mobile app. Don't try to push these to the backend. You can add JSON ignore. Now what I've done here is I've created this little Azure service. And my Azure service is going to allow me to call a few methods. So I have initialize, so initialize my Azure service, synchronize my coffees, get my coffees, and add a coffee. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to add a coffee, get my coffees, and synchronize that coffee with the backend. Now, what's going to be used here is my coffees page. So it's some XAML. Let me go ahead and zoom out here and let's go into view. Let's go into our forms previewer. See if that'll load up for us. Let's go to iOS. There we go. So we'll go ahead and put this off to the side. Now, what this little page does is very simple. On the very top, it has a switch. So we have a stack layout here. It says if it's made at home. So I can toggle that on and off to see if I'm going to save some money if I'm at home or if I'm away. I have this font label. I have a little bit, you know, make it different sizes on each platform. And then I have a button that's called Add Coffee. And here's our forms previewer here. So that's all it is. And there's a list view underneath it. So just made at home, a little switch here, add coffee. And here's our list view. And we just do a grouping and we have like a date that is going to be displayed essentially to the users that are there, which is really nice. So we can see that there's this key and there's grouped. And then down here we have if we're at home or away. So we'll see it left and right on there essentially. And then the very bottom, I have the stack layout. So that's hidden right now. But if I go offline, I put this little that I'm offline, and which is kind of nice for the user interface. Then I have a little spinner that can go on top of everything. So the back end of the code, and again, this the UI is whatever you want it to be. It really doesn't matter. Because the core here is this back end that we have, is this coffees view model. And the coffees view model is going to have a list of coffees and coffees grouped. And then we have the coffees view model, and I grab that Azure service. So it's going to create a singleton, and that's really important. We're going to create a singleton of this Azure service because we only want one way to ever connect to the Azure backend. I have a few bindable properties, so a loading message, if I'm at home or not, which is going to be bound to that switch. And then I have a few methods, one to load my coffees. So here I just go and I literally call my Azure service and I say get coffees. Then I update my range, and then I sort my coffees, and I use a really nice link query here to group everything by the date display. And then down here, I just have another method to add the coffee to the database. So here we can see I'm just literally calling into that Azure service and saying add coffee. So this is nice because if I switch out anything in my backend, my view model here is really decoupled from my backend Azure service. So if I need to update Azure service or switch something out, it doesn't matter. It's just going to add that coffee, remove that coffee. It doesn't worry about it. So let's go ahead and let's actually integrate our Azure service. So there's going to be a few things that we're going to need. I'm going to zoom in just because I can code it really big fonts. And inside of here, we're going to use first a mobile service client. And this client is what we're going to talk to most of the time in our application. The mobile service client will do things like handle our synchronization. It ties together the synchronization context with our database back and forth, which is really nice. What we also then need is our tables of our database. So I'll spread this out a little bit, but it's going to be our mobile service sync table that's there. Then it's going to be a cup of coffee, and it's going to be a coffee table. Now, we have this other, we can see here there's a sync table and a normal table here. Now, you don't have to synchronize every single table of your application. For instance, maybe you have an application that submits feedback to the server, and you don't want to synchronize all the feedback, right? You just want to submit the feedback into the back end. Well, that would just be a normal iMobile service table, not a sync table. And you can have multiple ones that sync where all that data or user-specific data is being synchronized down. And then this mobile service table, which has no synchronization context, can pull down data and can submit data to the back end, but it doesn't store anything locally. So be aware that you don't have to store everything locally, but it's nice in this context. So here's what we're going to do is I always like to call initialize whenever I'm doing any operation. So here I would say like await initialize here. I could await initialize here, for instance, and here. Just kind of like this is James' best practice. I just always want to make sure that this always gets called no matter what. And I don't want my view models to have to think about it, essentially. I just want to say, hey, always initialize. And I can know if I'm initialized if I say, if my client is not null and my sync context of that client is not null. And if I'm initialized, then go ahead and return here. And of course, it's going to be red squiggly because it's going to say, well, you have to handle the null. What if anything's null? Well, that's false then. So I use a whole bunch of C# 6 awesomeness there, which I love. Now we need an app URL. So we're talking to a backend, right? So our backend is going to be somewhere. In this instance, we're going to put it in Azure. So it's going to be something.azurewebsites.net. We'll come back to it and fill it in later when we create our backend. But it's going to be something. Don't leave it as something because it'll throw an exception because it doesn't exist. But there's our backend that we're going to point to. And now what we can do is we can actually create that client. So we'll say client equals new. Mobile service client, and it just needs a app URL. Now notice inside of here though, that there's also parameters for this HTTP message handler. So by default, it will handle just the out of the box, just send HTTP requests and handle everything for you. You can additionally intercept all those calls. So if you need to do user authentication and refresh tokens, you would intercept and create your own message handler to intercept each of those calls there. So by default, we don't need to do that. Now all we need to do is create a database. So here what I can do is I can say var file name, and I'll say my coffeedb.db. It could be any name, essentially. That's just the file name. Automatically, when we create the store, it will put it into secure storage on each of the, you know, wherever it puts it on iOS, Android, and Windows. You can find where it puts it by typing in Azure Mobile Service Client.default database path. There's also a little helper method called ensure file exists. So you can actually append that manually if you want to. You can put it somewhere else. You can point at an existing database. It's up to you. But now all we need to do is create our store. So again, we're going to create our local database. So we have our backend client, which is going to talk to our online store. We're going to then create our local database, which is going to be a new mobile service SQLite store. And it needs a file name. So file name, there we go. All right. Now what we can do is in our store, we can define all of our tables. So our database is now set up and we'll say store.define table. And you can define as many tables as you want. So we're just gonna say that this is a cup of coffee and define that table. If you have more tables, you can define as many as you want. And like in the Evolve conference app, I had like 10 or 12 different tables that I was synchronizing and it all was fine. Now what I can do is I have my database locally, I have it pointing, I have my service client that can talk to my online site. What I need is some glue. I need some glue, which we're calling the synchronization context, which will essentially allow us to handle that online offline data synchronization automatically. So what I can do is I can say await client.sync context. Remember I was checking the sync context right above there, and I'm gonna say initialize async. And what this will do is I can pass in a store. So I'm just going to pass in the store. It gives me other additional options, such as the iMobile service sync handler, store track options, and a bunch of other things in there you can look up in the documentation. But that would allow you, for instance, if I was to pass in an iMobile service sync handler, to handle how I want data to be synchronized if there's a conflict in data. Because if multiple people are editing them and offline, you could handle that inside the mobile application. Who wins? So we're just going to use the default implementation. And then the last thing we need to do is get our coffee table back. So we've essentially created our sync context, our database is defined, but I need to actually get the sync context, which is going to be client.getSyncTable. So our client always handles the table or the sync tables automatically, and this will be the cup of coffee. Now you could also see that when I type in client.get, there's also a get table. So there's get sync table and get table, which allows you to have that only online scenario, but we want that sync table, so it's always offline. Cool. So there's literally about like, you know, 10 lines of code to check to see if we're initialized, set up our online portal, set up our backend code, and define our database. Now what we're going to do is let's write the synchronization code last. Let's go in and just like figure out how to get our coffees. So normally what I want to do is whenever I want to synchronize the coffee, which is like push all my data up to the backend and pull down any data from the backend and make sure it's synchronized, I'm going to call sync coffee. So whenever I get coffees, that's the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say sync coffee. And now normally you probably wouldn't want to do this every single time. You want to do it in certain instances. Maybe there's no data that gets returned, or maybe you have a background service that's doing it every, you know, 2 hours, 4 hours, or you send a push notification that would trigger that there's some new data to get. That's a good scenario to do there. Often what I do is, you know, do a pull to refresh, or, you know, refresh the data once a day. And if they pull to refresh, then it gets all the latest data kind of up to based on your, you know, your situation. And now what I can do is I can literally just go off and grab the data. So I'll say var data and let me get the coffee, and I can access my coffee table, and I can say dot, and I can say order by. I can actually do link operations on the local database. Remember, now I'm on my local database here. And I'll say order by, and I'll say coffee by coffee dot date UTC. So there's my date UTC. And then I'll say to enumerable async. And I'll, of course, that's a task. So I'll go ahead and go await. There we go. So all asynchronously here, I'm just going to go ahead and pop these down to new line. There we go. So I can come in and I can say coffee table order by enumerate and then return that data. Boom. And automatically, since it knows here I'm a task, I'm going to return an IEnumerable cup of coffee. I get my enumerable back, my cup of coffee. Here's my data. Boom, good to go. All right. Now, let's go ahead and handle our add coffee too, and then we'll do the synchronization. Because remember here, the synchronization will also check to see if we're online or not. So if we're offline, it'll immediately return from synchronized coffee, and it will just go ahead and get our coffee there. And that's what we want to have happen here. When you add anything or update or do anything, you always want to insert locally into the database and then try to synchronize. So what we can do is we can say, let's create a cup of coffee, and we'll say new cup of coffee. We're going to insert this into the database first, and we're going to make sure that I don't return null and return the coffee. There we go. And what we can do is we can say, well, let's fill in the variables here, and the date UTC is going to be date time dot UTC now, and then made at home would be what we passed in, and the operating system, just for kind of demo sake, I like this, I'll just do Xamarin Forms has device.os, and I can two-string that. There we go. And now what I can do is I can attempt at this point, I can say await coffee table dot insert async. So on our coffee table, we can insert, update to list async. We can do those operations. We can do aware. We can take the first few of them. We can skip. We can refresh. We can purge. We can pull down data inside of here. All that stuff. So we're going to insert async that coffee that we just created. Now, even if I'm offline, this will always get inserted into my local database. I'm not accessing the network at all here, anything like that. So it's totally good just locally. Now, what I want to do is attempt to sync coffee. Let's go ahead and fill in that method. So that sync coffee method. So if I go back up and look at the sync coffee, we can see that, well, I initialize first. And what I'm going to do here is let's do a try catch, just because this is the part we're actually going to try to access the internet. So we'll do EX and we'll just do nothing for demo sake. Maybe we'll do like a debug dot write line. There we go. And let's do EX. There we go. You probably want to do a little bit more than that, but that is that. And then you might throw different exceptions, right? If there's some conflicting stuff. So we want to try some things. We're going to first say, hey, don't try to pull or push any data down if you're offline. So I'm going to use that cross connectivity, that connectivity plugin. So cross connectivity.current.isConnected. And I'm going to say, if I'm not connected, so I'm going to put a bang in front of it. If I'm not connected, go ahead and return. Don't even try to do anything. You're offline. It's okay. We are offline. Skip. Right? So you don't do anything. You're good. That one line of code will go through the native stacks and make sure that I'm connected to the internet. But if I am online, we are online. Let's do it. What we can do now is we can first go and we can say client dot sync context.pushAsync. So it'll send anything up to the server that we need via our synchronization context. And then what I can do is I can say coffee table dot pull async. And our coffee table, we're going to say pull this specific table. So you can be selective on which tables you want to pull. So I'm just going to pass in some query IDs, which get sent to my backend. So I'll say all coffee. And then this query here, we're just going to say coffee table dot create query. And you can learn more about these queries that are passed back, but it allows you to do fine granularity queries to your backend code. And that's it. Literally, I just wrote under 100 lines of code, a lot less actually with spaces. And I have a lot of new lines on here for demo sake, but I have my entire backend code in here. And now I could do more CRUD operations like deletes and updates and add more tables to it. And it becomes really simple. You can abstract these into simple interfaces. The entire backend code for the Azure or the Xamarin Evolve application was extremely minimal. It was very nicely architected that I did on that app. So take a look at that, which is really cool. So there's our application. It's essentially ready to go, except for we got to fill in this something. We need a backend for our app. So let's do it. Let's head over to our portal. So I'm going to open up Chrome here, and there we go. And we're going to go to portal.azure.com, and it's probably going to make me, it's already signed in. Good. There we go. Now, if you don't have an Azure account, you can sign up for a free trial if you want to, which is really nice. They give you a nice free trial of stuff. Azure Mobile Apps has a free tier, and I'll show you how to like access that kind of for getting started. If you have Visual Studio Ultimate, you're already going to have some credits. If you don't have some credits, go over to Google and type in Dev Essentials. There we go. Dev Essentials is from Visual Studio, so they're going to be the first hit on Google. And Visual Studio Dev Essentials is a great program that gives you some Xamarin University, gives you Azure credits, stuff to our SQL Server, whole bunch of great things. You can sign up completely for free. And for a full year, you get a $25 per month Azure credit, which is way enough to do everything that you need for Azure mobile apps. Whole lot of good stuff in here. So take a look at that. And of course, you get more Xamarin University training too. So in our Azure portal, what we're going to do here is I'm going to zoom in a bunch here. We're going to go into new, and inside of the web and mobile here is going to live all of our app service stuff. So when I tap on that, we have stuff like web app, mobile app, logic app, CDN, media services, and we want to create a brand new mobile app. And that's going to be our mobile app. So let's just call this James Drinks Coffee. Or how about Drink More Coffee? Is that available? It is available. So there we go. So that's the URL that we want. Visual Studio Ultimate. This is the subscription. Be very cognizant of what subscription you're picking. It's quite tricky to change it later. We're going to call this the Drink Coffee Group. Now this resource group here, I like to put everything in a resource group because it's easy to delete. So I always delete stuff at the end of my demos. This app service plan. Oh, let's create a new one. These are all my service plans, which you can see like the free tiers or the shared tiers that you're on. So inside of here, for instance, I can say this is going to be my drink coffee plan. You can say, hey, where does this app service live? And this is really important. Where am I deploying my code? I'm going to put in West US. I'm going to come in here, and this is the pricing tier. It'll give you a few of them by default here. And you can click on the view all, and you can see the premium, S1. I'll put it on like a basic tier, for instance. You can do manual scaling up to 3 instances. Up here, you can actually do auto scale up to 10 instances. It's really not that big of a difference in price. So they're actually really nice. You get 2 gigs of RAM, 50 gigabytes of storage. It's really nice. We'll just leave it on that. That's the default. And we'll hit OK. And the last thing I like to do is do pin to dashboard. That's going to pin it to our dashboard. So go ahead and hit pin. Bup, 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 bup. This will validate. This will go ahead and start deploying our mobile app backend. And this actually just takes a few seconds here to do. So bup, 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 deploying our backend, doing stuff. It's happening. There we go. We're just bopping along. Usually takes about a few seconds. Now, this isn't going to create our database or our whole website or anything like that, but it's essentially deployed our app service and our Azure mobile app that we can start to interact with. We can see up top that there's actually a URL, drinkmorecoffee.azurewebsites.net. So if I click on that, I'm going to actually bring up a default kind of blank Azure website for me here. So it says, hey, this app has been successfully created, but I haven't deployed anything yet. So you're going to want to deploy something. We can see the FTP. We can see the deployment here. We can see activity logs. deployment slots. So you can do anything that you could do before. You could add multiple deployment slot, like development, production. You can do continuous delivery of application settings that are inside of here. So what version of .NET and PHP and Java and all that stuff that's in here. There's things like auto scale. And this is if you want to change your plan. There's scale out. So you can automatically change, you know, how many instances you want based on CPU usage. Now, what else is in here? Push notifications, automation scripts, the plans, the quotas. I mean, there's so much stuff in here. And what we want to be focused on is actually this one. Where it is? There it is, under mobile. So this is the settings in here. So you'll see easy tables and easy APIs. That's if you want to use the Node.js backend that's there. So you would just configure easy tables and easy APIs. It's just one click and it'll set it all up for you. And you can start pushing data to it. We're going to take a look at, I'm assuming a lot of us on the webinar, C# developers, and probably have done ASP.NET development before. So I'm going to walk you through building the ASP.NET backend, or if you have an existing ASP.NET backend, you can add onto it easily. The data connections is really important. The data connection here allows us to connect to our database. So we'll set up that data connection first. And you can select between a SQL database or a storage, like a DocumentDB. I'm just going to do a SQL database, and I'm going to configure it here. And in this instance, you can create a brand new database if you want to. That takes about 4 or 5 minutes because it needs to spin up a new SQL server, things like that for you. I'm just going to go ahead and tap on my demo database that I've already created ahead of time. And I'm just going to go ahead and connect to it. And I'm just going to type in my password. There we go. Hit OK. Hit OK. And what this is going to do is it's going to say, hey, this database is allowed to communicate to this app service specifically. So it only takes a few seconds to make the connection, and it'll pop up here. There we go. Boom. And now we're connected to the database. If you're creating a database for the first time, give this some time. It takes, like I said, about 4 or 5 minutes based on what region and where you're putting things at. But then once it's here, you're able to start deploying to the back end. So let me show you how to deploy to the back end. Now, I always like to go into this quick start section. So I'm, again, in the settings of my app service. And if you, for some reason, get lost here and you're like, oh, where did it go? Where did it go? Well, I pinned it to my dashboard. So it's the mobile app for Drink More Coffee. And then again, it'll just bring up this dashboard for the mobile app. So under app deployment and quick start, this is going to say, hey, are you building an application? And I'm going to say, yeah, I'm building an application. It'll say, what kind of application are you building? Because app service has SDKs for everything. And we just want Xamarin Forms. If you're iOS or Android, you just select those. It's going to say, hey, you already have a database connection. So if you didn't set one up, it would make you set one up here. And then it'll say, what kind of backend do you want? And we want a C# backend. And then you can download immediately a sample. So let me go ahead and put this on my desktop. There we go. And this will be the sample backend that you can deploy immediately. And it says like, hey, you know, we're going to create a to-do item table in there, but we're going to add some more tables to it. Now, what's really cool is that even if you don't have the app, like my coffee cup app, you can actually say, hey, create a new app right here, or, you know, connect it to an existing app, and it'll give you the actual URLs and everything and the code snippets that you actually need to put in there to just do normal online synchronization. And that's it. So there's all that we're ever going to come back in here for. And of course, you'd want to manage and handle more deployments and things like that. But everything is now handled for us. So let's go back to our desktop, and let's go ahead and extract this here. Let's go ahead and minimize this. This is the Drink More Coffee runtime, which is essentially our ASP.NET backend. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up here in Visual Studio. There we go. And we'll trust that this is a OK project. Now, this is going to look like a standard ASP.NET application because it is a standard ASP.NET application. So if I actually zoom in to the right-hand side over here, there we go. We have Drink More Coffee. We have some references in here. We have a bunch of NuGets that we need to restore. We have an app start. We have controllers. We have data models. We have models. And let's actually go into our NuGets. First, I'm going to restore all the NuGets. And then we can see exactly what's installed here. So if you're running an ASP.NET website, you probably have things like Web API and Core and Client and a bunch of other ASP.NET specific things that you need. What it'll install for us specifically is these Microsoft Azure Mobile .Server components. So there's authentication, entity home notifications, quick start, tables, things like that. So these will all be installed. So if you're adding this to an existing backend that you already have, you would just add these to it, and that's it. This is built on top of Entity Framework, so you have things like OData and Entity Framework and OWN and a whole bunch of other stuff that's installed here for you automatically. That's all there. So if we take a look over here at our to-do item, we already have that. We have a to-do item and a to-do controller. So if I actually pop into this to-do item here, we can see that I have, let's go ahead and build this just so the DLLs get all set up here. We have an entity data. We have something like a text and a completed. If I actually go into the, go to definition, there we go. Our entity data is very similar to those specific attributes, remember, that I had earlier. So I had an ID, there was deleted, created at, updated at, version, and it knows how to put those back and forth. So that's what we're going to inherit from. The to-do item controller is here. So it just has simple gets, like get all, get to-do item, post item, patch item. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to create a new class. We're going to say add new item, there we go, new class, there we go. And we're going to call this cup of coffee. Now, in this instance, I'm just going to duplicate my information from my application. You may want to build like a shared project that actually shares code between the back end and the front end that's there, which is totally possible. So I'm just going to copy and paste. Some developers like to copy and paste and make sure they have their data. There's like a mobile portion of data, things like that. So it's kind of up to your architecture. But we're just going to make sure this inherits from entity data. There we go. We're going to bring in that namespace. And there we go. Now realize that I've only brought in three properties, date UTC, made at home, and OS, because all the other properties are part of entity data. So there's no need for me to put the ID or the version or anything like that on there. It's already existing. Now, what's really cool is that I can come in and I need to create the controller. So what I am actually able to do is I have the Azure SDK installed. So I can go into controllers, add, and then new scaffolded item. And that will pop up our add scaffold, which will do all the scaffolding and write a bunch of code and insert code for us. And there's two things. There's a custom controller, which is like an API controller. So if I wanted to do custom APIs that aren't talking to my database, I could do that there. I'm just going to add this new table controller. Go ahead and add it there. It's going to go off and search my code and say, hey, like here are the models that you have. We want to add the cup of coffee. They'll say, well, this will be called cup of coffee controller. Where's your context that's going to talk to your database? Well, it's the drink more coffee context. I'm going to hit add. It's going to create a bunch of code for us and tie everything together. So it scaffolds everything out. We can see here's our table controller, which is now a cup of coffee. What's nice inside of here is that this is by default going to have no authentication on it. So anyone can insert and delete and add cups of coffee to it, which is totally fine. When I actually start building this out in the final example that you'll find on my GitHub, has full user authentication and Twitter authentication and things like that on it. So instead of doing this query, you could just do like if, you know, user dot what identity and get the SSID and or the SID of it and make sure that you only get the cup of coffee for the specific user, which is really nice. So you have that context there. So it's also gone into this context, which is my database context with my connection string, and it's gone ahead and added my DB set here. Up in my mobile app startup, what it'll do is it'll configure, it'll make sure that all my coffee and my tables are created here. And there's a whole bunch of different startup code that you want to learn about and read about in there. But just like that, I've actually created my entire backend. I have added my controller that I want to push to. And now what I can do is I can come and I can say publish. There we go. I'm going to go into my publish and I'll say Azure app. I'm already logged into my Microsoft account. It'll go and it'll find everything here. So there's my drink coffee group. There's my drink more coffee app. I'm going to hit OK. And it'll pull down my publishing profile. So it has all the information, the password, everything for me. It has the connection to the database. And I'm just going to say publish. There we go. So it's actually going to build up. It's going to, you know, try to do a web deployment right here from Visual Studio. You can put this in your continuous integration if you're using Visual Studio Team Services or other build services, things like that. And it will launch our database. So now we can actually see that it's up and running. We have the drinkmorecoffee.azurewebsites.net. Now, what's really cool is that this is a full website. So it has that RESTful API actually enabled and ready to go. So what I can actually do here is I can type in Postman, which is an awesome app. I don't even have to launch my applications yet to actually test this. I can come into Postman, which if you never use Postman, it lets you to do things like do gets and posts and put patches and puts and deletes all from right here. So I can actually paste in the actual URL. So drinkmorecoffee.azurewebsite/tables. And then all I have to do is append this Zumo API version 2.00 or whatever at the end, which is what the client SDK automatically appends for us. So it's kind of like a handshake in a way. And when I hit send, we can see that, hey, there's actually nothing there at all. There's nothing in our database. So I could actually insert something. So I could go into insert here and say that this is going to be a post. And I go to that same tables, coffee, app, things like that. I go into the body and say, hey, I would really like for this to go in there. And this is around Christmas of last year or so. So let's just say I drank some coffee around there. We can delete that thing there. There we go. This is looking pretty good. So OS is Postman. And we can say web, made it home, true, and hit send. This will go off and it'll say, hey, this was inserted. Here's the version information. And now you can go back to your get and you can say get coffee. And now we've inserted data into our database, which is really cool. Now, if we want, we can actually go right into our Drink More Coffee backend that we were just in. I can open up the SQL Server Explorer. What you can do is you can actually tap on the actual add button over here. This will actually go out and try to find all of our different databases. You can always refresh it just to make sure it has the latest list of whatever you're connected to. So here I can see all the different ones that I have. There's the demo database. I should just be able to type in my password. And I've already connected to this before, so shouldn't ask me to do anything such as allow this IP address. But we can see here's the demo database, the SQL Server. Here's the database inside of it. Here's the tables, and you can see the views. You can see all this different stuff that's inside of it. So this is going to go through, and here's my tables that are coming down. And what's really nice here is that you can actually modify the data. You can do anything that you really want inside of it. So here's the cup of coffees. There's the to-do items. If I double tap on the cup of coffees, it's going to show me the actual designer file. So the design surface of the database. So you can do all this from Visual Studio without leaving it, which is nice. So this will go ahead and pull it up for the first time. It's again, going off and talking to Azure, communicating with that table. So it's going to go ahead and try to retrieve the database surface. So we can see the different items that we were inserting into the database. If there's any migrations, you'd have the migration history inside of there. You can view code, the designer, the permissions. You can view the data. So if you right click and say view data, this will actually go off and it's going to go and connect and try to visualize that data that we just saw. So there's the data coming back from Postman Web. There we go. Our design surface still doesn't want to load. Let's try it one more time. Sometimes when you're talking to real databases in the cloud, it takes a little bit of time to spin up, but we can see our Postman web data right there that's coming in. So you know that it's actually coming in from the web that we just had. So let's go ahead and integrate this into our mobile application. So let's go back over to the other Visual Studio and go back into our app, our Azure service. So what I can do here, I can do drink more coffee. There we go. That's all I need to do is I just need to update the URL of where my application is pointing. And now at this point, I can come in and set the, let's say, Android application as the startup. And I'm just going to go ahead and rebuild it just for, why not, I should say. And so it'll make sure all my packages are installed and ready to go, and it'll compile up my application. Now, I have an Android emulator here. This could be any Android emulator. This is just the Google one. It could be a device, anything like that. This is nice because I can put it into like airplane mode or something like that too and see what it's going to go and do. So give this a few seconds to compile up. See our build status. Nothing. There we go. Building. It's building. Things are happening. If this is your first time building the app, you know, it may take a few more seconds to download some packages and things like that. So let's give it a few seconds here. And what we want to do is we want to see us inserting some data into the database. And what's nice about that, like when I showed you that this is coming from Postman, is that you could have a website communicating. That information could be coming from any of the different sources. It just doesn't have to be coming from mobile, right? It's just a RESTful API that anyone else could talk to. So we'll make sure this compiles up. Let's see if the other... there we go. Our other one actually came back finally with our design surface here. So you can see all the different... information coming in. So date UTC, made it home, not just a bit. So the Boolean. So you can actually see what's coming in into the database, which is cool. Let's go ahead back here. All right, we're all built up. Let's go ahead and deploy. And we're going to deploy to this emulator. So it's going to go spin it up. And I should have installed everything that I need ahead of time, so it should be a little bit snappier. We'll see. And hopefully by default, what we'll see is that it will go off and query automatically that coffee that we already inserted into the database. So here we go. I haven't added a splash screen or anything fancy, so I just have the default here. And what we should see is we're going to load some coffees from the internet, and boom, there we go. Postman Web around Christmas time. I can come in now and I can toggle this. I can add the coffee. There we go. And it's today at around 8 a.m. Might have some date UTC issues there. We can say we're not at home. And we can actually make sure that these are coming in. I could go back into Postman, hit send again. Now I have all the coffees that were coming in. I could actually verify that those are in my database by coming over here and saying refresh. This is going to go off to Azure and actually point at our exact database. So we're actually took rows of data here. So there we go. If I wanted to modify this, and I'll say Android Mots, and then maybe this is Android Henry, for instance. I've updated that there. I could come into my Android app and I could actually pull the refresh, and boom, it's automatically, see, it did that synchronization automatically for me. This is where it gets really cool though, is I could actually come over here on my application, and we could set the iOS version as my startup. So let's do that here, and let's just go ahead and deploy it for the iPhone 5S, for instance. It could be deployed on anything. So we're going to build this up, and we can actually run these side by side. Let me close that. There we go. We can run these side by side. Then I'm going to put one into airplane mode. We can actually then see what it'll actually do, and you can see the synchronization back and forth, which is really nice. So let's go ahead and do this here. So connecting to the Mac, we're going to get our remote iOS simulator here because I'm using VS Enterprise. There we go. And then finally, what we can do is launch it on Windows there too, and actually see that up and running. So there we go. Bop, bop, boom. Coffee cups. Default splash screen, of course. And here we go. So here we're going to load all of our coffees, and boom, there we go. We actually have everything coming in, if we're at home or not. If I add a coffee here, it's now it's on iOS. Or it synchronized. It's literally that entire thing just did a full round trip up into Azure and back, right? So it's that fast. It's that instantaneous. Now watch this though. If I come over here and actually put this into airplane mode, we can see that I'm offline, right? So if I add a coffee, it's immediately going to insert it into the database here, but it's not necessarily going to try to synchronize that. If I come back and I close this down, I come back up and I launch the Coffee Cups app, it's still going to launch the Coffee Cups app. But even if I pull the refresh on iOS, it's not going to have that data. iOS is online, the Android one is not. So I could add another cup of coffee here, and it's there, and the iOS one is there. If I attempt to pull the refresh here, nothing, right? Because it's not back online. So now what I can do is I can come over, and you saw how fast and instantaneous that was, right? So if I launch the application, I'm checking the status, and all that data is returned instantaneously from my local database. So as soon as the application loads, boom, you have all your data immediately. So if I come over and I close it off again, I come back over here, I turn back on airplane mode. Here we go. I'm going to come up and launch the Coffee Cups app. Now at this point, it's going to synchronize the data on the back end. So it's going to say, hey, I have internet again. Let's go ahead and synchronize those cups of coffee. Let's go ahead and push all that data up to the server. And we can see automatically that we now have that iOS one. If I pull the refresh here, there's the Android ones, and they're in place because I'm ordering them automatically, which is awesome, right? So it's that quick. It's doing those full roundhouses back and forth between iOS and Android. If I refresh the data here, there we go, right? I could boom, there we go again. So now what's really cool is that I, of course, can come into UWP and I can say debug, and I can start a new instance. And now I can debug all the applications kind of at the same time. It's my new favorite thing that I don't know why I didn't. Oh, it's already being used. All right, so I do got to stop iOS. Let's try that. Let's go ahead and set that as a startup. Sometimes you can deploy multiple at the same time, which is kind of cool. Let's just go ahead and start it here without debugging. Project, ooh, needs to be startup. Let's put in any CPU. Start without deploying. There we go. And we can still run these side by side. There we go. So it's looking good. Synchronizes. Boom. Good. And just for fun, let's kind of keep synchronizing some coffees here. So here's our UWP application. Back and forth. Boom, and now we have our coffees today. that are coming in. We can say if we're online or not. If I pull the refresh here, there we go. There's our Windows one. There's our Windows one. And everything is talking nice and happily between all of them. So I have a little refresh button right there. So now we're doing synchronization between all of them. If I put my Windows machine offline, if I put my iOS offline or Android offline, everything is going to be synchronized and all under 100 lines of code. Just a very minimal code in our backend that's needed, and you're good to go. So let me go ahead and reiterate what I did here, right? So I built the backend with the ASP.NET backend that I deployed. I just downloaded the starter. If you already have one, you could add the SDKs and read the documentation for it. And what I did inside my mobile application is I first installed the Azure Mobile Apps SDK for the client. I created a new mobile service client. I went in and I initialized it. So I created my database, my SQLite store. I synchronized my table here. I then initialized my synchronization context, grab my sync table, my coffee table, if you will. My synchronization code was to push and then pull the data down. It could be any of your different items here in this to-do items example. To insert, I simply say insert, and then I push all my changes locally. To get all my open items, you know, anything that any of your items that you want. In our instance, the coffee, we're ordering them. We're doing it all locally here. So for instance, you could do where clauses and say where it's not completed. You just query the local table. So that way it's returning instantaneously. Now, I don't have time in this webinar to add some additional authentication, but the final application of the Coffee Cup app does have Twitter authentication built in. You can select between one, many, as many of the different backend providers as you want. You can even do anything, your own custom OAuth 2 backend pre-authentication has a nice server flow. So you do not have to add any tokens to your client app. All of your clients, all of your secrets and things like that are stored on your server. So it's nice and secure. There's a lot more though. We actually handle push notifications automatically for you with something called Notification Hub, which is built into the SDK. If you've never used push notifications, essentially there's usually three things. And you, as a developer, have to manage the two on the left here, the client and your own app backend. The platform notification service is like Apple's or Google's or Microsoft's push notification service. And usually you have to essentially send down this notification service handle. You have to then store that handle for the specific device in your app backend. You have to then push that up and request a notification. It then sends it to a device, and then you have to manage the device handles back and forth. It's very tedious. This is what it looks like. So instead of having to build all of this, we say, what if you just have to worry really about integrating and handling how you want to display push notifications? So what we add in there is Notification Hub, which is part of Azure Mobile Apps and the app services. So you still go down, you get your handle, you would store that in your backend. But the difference here is that you can just simply send that to Notification Hub, and Notification Hub will map your tags, your handles, it'll handle all the synchronization, and you can use Notification Hub to then push notifications to the service. So you don't have to talk directly to the service, Notification Hub will do it. And it will manage all the device handles for you automatically. It's super nice, it's super simple, it's the easiest way to do push notifications. But of course, Azure Mobile Apps is a lot more than just table storage. We also handle file syncing and blob kind of storage, if you will. So it'll automatically, just like you were storing your table storage, it'll do online, offline data synchronization of your Azure storage. So files, pictures, things like that. It'll handle all of your SAS tokens, anything like that to your Azure storage backend. It's super nice. We have examples of all of this. A really great one that ties it all together is the shopping demo app, which I'll have links to here. Or it's actually in the bottom right here in this GitHub. It's a really cool sample demo. It's not overly complex, but what it does is it shows you how to use things like cognitive services, storages, online, offline data sync, push notifications, and authentication with both like Twitter and Facebook. And it gives you a quick start. So you can just say, boom, deploy to, and it'll say, click a button, and it'll say deploy to Azure, and it'll deploy all the services to Azure that you need. So take a snapshot really quick of that URL. It's really nice demo to get up and running. And I've contributed and updated it a little bit too, which is nice. And when you want to think about building this backend, if you're doing everything in C# with ASP.NET, is don't forget that you can build this kind of shared C# client server backend. So we did everything, you know, in C# here, and we just copied and pasted our models around, but those could be shared between your mobile and your server client. So again, everything is shared, everything's in C#. It's a beautiful, happy world. So kind of think and plan for that global reach, even though if you only think you're going to target, you know, developers in your country, it could your app could, you know, hit huge success, and then need to really do that global reach. So, you know, make sure that you're always caching locally first, and then think of building a backend or picking a backend that grows with you, like Azure. So you can get started today with Xamarin at xamarin.com/download. So if you haven't had downloaded Xamarin or anything that you need yet, just go right there. You can find that shopping demo and a whole bunch of more information on Xamarin and Azure combined when you go to azure.com/Xamarin, which is a nice short URL. I also encourage you to check out Xamarin University and the free self-guided courses that you can find. It's awesome. You can take a whole bunch of different free courses, which actually count towards your certification if you decide to sign up later for the full Xamarin University. I've done all of them myself. I'm a Xamarin certified developer. It took me a while, but I did it. That's great. I really love Xamarin U, so check it out at xamarin.com/university. And with that, I want to thank everyone. Here's the link to my GitHub, which has the Coffee Cup app that I just demoed today. And of course, you can find me on Twitter and my GitHub at James Montemagno. It's the easiest way to get to me. I'll open it up with a few Q&A. But with that, I want to thank everyone for attending. And I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks.